Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Larry Warren, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hear the word God has just for you today. The Bible reveals that there are two ways of living in this world. One way is in the kingdom of God, which is filled with life, peace, health, abundance, and joy. The other way is in the kingdom of darkness, which is filled with sin, sickness, poverty, and fear. God tells us all throughout His Word that if we follow His ways by obeying His commands, then He can lead us to the blessed, abundant life He wants you and your family to enjoy. Today, Kenneth Copeland explains that when you do things God's way, you open the door for Him to provide you with abundance and protection through the power of His blessing.
Let's go over to the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Now, yesterday morning and last night's service, we were dealing with the concept of covetousness. Covetousness is a way of thinking. To covet, the violation of the commandment of God, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his house, his help, his servants, anybody that works for him, or his property of any kind. It goes into detail enough to say, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, folks, this is so serious with God. I'm telling you, this is a tool in the hands of Satan that is really mean. And it not only creates theft and all kinds of stuff, it eventually goes far enough to become the root of all evil, because the love of money is a result of covetousness, or thinking that way. So the covetous way of thinking will influence your decisions to the place where you begin to make decisions that look perfectly good, perfectly right. And we read the scripture from the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. There is a way, or a way of thinking. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, the ways of death. They don't look like death thinking, or you wouldn't do it. But you can progress under the influence of darkness, under the influence of depression. Well, that certainly don't come from God, does it? Under the influence of drugs, under the influence of other things, till you come to the place where it looks perfectly rational to you to commit suicide. Like you're helping somebody else. Well, I'm doing this for my family. And actually believe it. You're lost in a goose in a hailstorm, man. But it don't look wrong to you. Why? Because of the progress of your way of thinking and the outside influences that developed that kind of thinking in you till you got to the place where it looked like the thing to do. Self-murder. Bad deal. But can you see the concept? There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Your thinking's being influenced by something other than God, other than His Word, other than light, life, goodness, and the blessing of God. It's being influenced by the curse. It's not the curse of God, is it? No. No, it's the curse that came on mankind when he separated from God. We know who's the author of the curse. And Gloria talked about him pretty thoroughly a while ago. And you don't want no part of him. Knock him in the head and run him off. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now, today, in this service, we talked yesterday about concept. We're going to get into working knowledge today and the working of it and how it works. So let's go back over where we were in the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel where Jesus taught on this. One of the company in the 13th verse, one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, not just the man that just said that, but to the other people that are there, take heed, wake up, become aware, and beware. To beware of something, you have to be aware of it. You have to know something about it. That's the reason he went ahead and taught on it here, and not only here, but all over the Bible. He's not the only one that taught it. Everybody, all the writers of the Bible, one way or another, talked about this. So that you beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things. Say things. Things, natural things that he possesses. Notice here what Jesus said. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which you possess. He spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself. This is a thought that came up on the inside of him. I am totally convinced by what I've learned from this chapter and other related things that I'm going to share with you today, that that thought was something that God planted into him, trying to get him loose from what was about to happen to him because he was about to die and he didn't know it. Amen. And he didn't recognize God when it came. And so he said within himself, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? He said, this will I do. Good question, bad answer. Now, I want you to notice again this afternoon how this answer made him so vulnerable to anything that steals or kills or destroys. He was blind to it. Look what he said. I will pull down my barns. Now he's made a very, very bad financial decision. Right. He's about to spend a bunch of money tearing his barn down. He don't need to tear the barn down. Jesus said over here in the 33rd verse, sell what you have and give alms. Get into the giving business. Get over on God's side of things, and the blessing of the Lord that is the protection wall around a believer will come up like it did with Job. It's when Job got himself off his mind and got his family off his mind and got that fear out of his life and he ministered to the very men that had been trying to destroy him. And it captivity turned. And not only that, he financially prospered double. Isn't that interesting? Well, what was Satan's big problem? I mean, why was he after Job so? Well, when God asked him, he said, does Job serve you for nothing? You have blessed him. And all that he has a wall around it. He couldn't get in there. That's what had Satan so hacked off at this deal. He couldn't get in there. Why? This is the richest man in the East. Satan wanted his money and his influence. He don't care what happens to him. Here's a whole area that he didn't have any influence in. Why? Because Job had it, and he's a healing preacher. Ministry of healing. Says so in that book. It's interesting, isn't it? Where did that blessing come from? Well, yeah, it came from God. But what blessing was it? It was the blessing of Abraham. Amen? It was the blessing that God originally put on Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Adam blew it off. And so God entered covenant with a man by the name of Abraham and brought that blessing through covenant with a man on the earth and brought that blessing active again in the earth. Now, what activates the blessing? The faith of Abraham activated the blessing of Abraham. It still does. Those who are faithful are blessed with faithful Abraham. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Amen. Or I like to say, all the rest of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that we might receive what the Spirit promised to Abraham. Then the 28th verse, and if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Well, what was in that blessing? Was financial prosperity in that blessing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Amen.
You can't find any Jews yet that go along with that God loves poverty stroke. Ain't no way, man. And where did they get that? The blessing of Abraham.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, if you belong to Christ, if you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise?
Amen.
So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles or all the rest of us.
Amen.
Now, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 8, and 9, talking about the grace of God, that you need to abound in this grace also. What grace? Though he, Jesus, was rich, he became poor. Now, how did he become poor? I've already quoted it to you. He has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Uh-huh. He bore our transgressions. Why? So we could be made righteous with his righteousness. He bore our sickness and disease. Well, sickness and disease was under the curse. He bore the curse of sickness and disease so you and I could be well.
Amen.
Well, it says in this scripture that I'm quoting to you now, we're dealing with now, that he bore our poverty.
Amen.
That through his poverty, we might be rich. Rich is not a dirty word in the Bible. Rich is a dirty word in religion. Except for the preachers that want to get rich off you. No, 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 no. Or anybody else in the whole religion world that thinks wealth is bad. No, wealth isn't bad unless it's in the hands of bad people. People that don't know how to think, and that's what's the matter with this guy here. He wasn't a bad man, but covetousness, covetous way of thinking, got him in a bad place. Because now he's about to do something with his wealth that was working against him. Why? It's working against God. God's here for your life, not your death. Let's go right here in this 12th chapter now and come on down here. Because the people he was talking to, man, the things he said, now quit thinking about yourself all the time. Quit thinking about your future and trying to provide for your future and begin to think like this. How do you empty the barn when it's full? Sell what you have and give alms. He didn't say sell what you have and become poor and you'll be happy. He wasn't talking about the man becoming poor. He's talking about the man becoming more wealthy than he is now. But for what he's using his wealth for, he don't need any more. You can just have billions of dollars and you can't spend much more than I can. Because you can't wear but one pair of breeches at a time. And you're not going to eat, but, you know, so many meals a day. Amen. I thought I'd just kind of let that soak in a little bit. Now, when you get that way, if your motive is just to provide for you all your life and make sure you can quit young and have a party, that's what this guy said he wanted to do. He built up where he got enough barns full to last for many years. Well, thinking that way got him into trouble. And got him in a place because he's not listening to God. God wants to get you over into the giving so that your results, your harvest, is all the time. All the time. Well, there's a whole way of life here, see. And if God could get this man over on the giving side, God knew what was coming. The man didn't. He could get him out of that covetous thinking and get him over to selling instead of destroying. He's going to tear his barns down. Hey, man, you don't need to tear those barns down. Those are perfectly fine barns. There's no use you tearing them down, spending all the money to tear them down, and then spending all the money to build new ones and losing the crops that you have in your barns now because you got to pull them out of there to tear the barn down. What's going to happen to them? One good rain and you're wiped out. And then one good drought and you've got all them big barns with nothing to put in it. He's vulnerable on all sides. And, man, I want you to know Satan moved in on him. And something happened to him that day. His soul was required of him. Amen. And then, what did Jesus say? You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided. Now, why did God say, which you have provided? I thought his land was blessed. It was producing plentifully, wasn't it? But this man is not giving God any of the praise or the glory or gratitude for it. He's just thinking about his own ugly self, and I want to eat, drink, and be merry. Or just get drunk and have a glutton party for the balance of his life. What about the man that Lazarus set at his gate? He died and went to hell. Jesus, and that was another certain rich man. I don't know that it wasn't the same one. He fared sumptuously and let a beggar die on his front porch. And it opened him up to the same curse that killed that beggar on his porch. Say, yeah, but the beggar man went into paradise. He went into the bosom of Abraham. Yeah, he did. You know why? He didn't hate the rich man for it. You see the difference now between the two attitudes. But now, in hell itself, this sorry, no good guy that's just totally misused people. Let me tell you something. Don't ever use people to get things. Use things to bless people. And you'll be in a position to make good decisions all the time. And they're the ways of life, not death. Because God can direct you and have to do with your goods. But going into hell didn't change him. What was the first thing he said? Jesus said that the man looked up at Abraham and said, have Lazarus dip his finger in water and come help me. You gotta be kidding. He's still trying to order Lazarus around. He hadn't changed a bit. He's just a hard-headed, mean old sucker that got into hell. Hell won't change you. It'll influence you, but it won't change you. Amen. You can see that. Hallelujah. Now, I need you to listen very carefully now. Covetousness is, according to the words of Jesus, God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You don't actually need to be laying up for yourself, providing for your future. Now listen, unless God speaks to you and says, I want you to invest in such and such there, and I'd like for you to buy that piece of property with it. Why, Lord? I'll tell you later. But what's happening here? He's planning for my future, not me. My future is in his hands, and I intend to keep it there. And in order to do that, I've got to change my way of thinking. Instead of trying to provide for myself all the time, I'm listening to him.
It's obvious all over the earth. The enemy is raging. But as a believer, you don't have to live subject to fear. You are designed for victory. In his book, Live Fear Free, Kenneth Copeland shows you how to shut down the enemy's attacks, remove fear, and stand strong in faith, no matter what's happening around you. Jesus defeated the law of sin and death once and for all, so you can live according to the law of the Spirit of life in him. Learn how fear opens the door to the devil, but faith slams it shut. When you live by faith, fear can't control you. Be free to live boldly, live healed, and live protected under God's love. When your focus is on the Word, the storms around you fade away. You've been given authority. You've been equipped with faith. The world needs men and women who will stand tall in faith and refuse to back down. Rise up as the fearless believer you were born again to be and live fear-free. Live Fear Free, the new book by Kenneth Copeland, now available for only $26.99 on kcm.org/TV special, or when you call 800-600-7395. You can live fearlessly 24/7 in the secret place of God's protection. Be equipped with God's word and his wisdom to live an overcoming, fear-free life. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside of the U.S., shipping charges may apply.
In Genesis 1:28, we see that God's original plan for man was that he live blessed. That blessing was the empowerment to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish the world around him so there would never be lack in any area of life. God has not changed. A blessed life is still God's will for you and your family today. If we'll choose to follow God's plan for financial increase, then we'll receive his blessing that makes us truly rich with no sorrow added to it. Let's look at the plan for abundance that God has provided for us in Philippians chapter 4. In verse 15 through 18, Paul tells the church that their offering was not only a blessing to him, but it allowed God the opportunity to respond to their giving with financial abundance. We see the guarantee of that abundance in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall richly supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. When you sow seed into the work of the ministry, God has promised to provide for all your needs from his personal riches and glory. Now, I want you to know that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is good ground to sow into. In 1967, God entrusted Kenneth and Gloria Copeland with a sacred task of preaching the uncompromised message of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. For nearly 60 years now, they faithfully taught the body of Christ worldwide the principles of faith in God's word that enables them to live in victory every day. Partners and friends, thank you so much for your partnership. Because of the gift of your financial seed, together we're able to send the life-changing power of God's word on every available voice to all who will receive it. Heaven records every seed you sow, and God is faithful to make sure you are abundantly rewarded as his word has promised. So allow me to bless your offering today. Heavenly Father, we receive our seed from you today, and we choose according to the obedience of faith to freely sow it. From your word written in our hearts, we receive it back, given to us again and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To text to give, text the letters KCM to 36609. Together with you, we are sending the word of faith to families around the world.